What is going down, everyone? It's time for the hype, episode number 213. What's hot in the hobby? That's what we're going to cover today. We're going to talk LeBron versus Curry in terms of cards, because I think those are two clear-cut blue-chip investments, so we're going to discuss our side on that. We're going to talk group break ethics. There was a couple card porn posts on Instagram. If you're not following card porn, I would definitely check it out. We're going to discuss some of that stuff. And we're going to talk about Zion. Is it time to jump ship on Zion? So some great topics today. Make sure you guys check out mojobreak.com for your breaks, mojobreakshop.com for your sealed wax, where we have this deal right now, Chronicles Draft Picks. 21-22 Chronicles draft picks at the low price of $175. Four hits a box. Quantity is limited, so definitely jump on that. That is our daily deal there, one of our hot in the shop exclusives. And we also have some other great products on sale at mojobreakshop.com. We got some Leaf Flash. We got Update Hobby at $69. We've got Status NBA at $154. That was another one from last week, but we got some more in, so we put that one back up. So lots of stuff going down on mojobreakshop.com. Make sure you guys save big and get these big savings on these boxes. Triple Threads came out today. Are you guys excited about Triple Threads baseball?
I love Triple Threads. Who doesn't?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. Especially, we usually get it way earlier than we did this year. So it's kind of like that lull, you know what I mean, in terms of baseball, like waiting for Triple Threads. Because I feel like we always open Triple Threads like in September, dude. Isn't that right? Around September?
Everything's.
I think last year it was like December.
Everything's off. Yeah. Everything's off.
Yeah. Because of that.
But Triple Threads, I think now, I mean, we talk about it every year Triple Threads comes out.
Pretty unique.
Triple Threads is the OG of high-end baseball products.
Yeah.
And we've come a long way.
Yeah.
Because there's a handful of products that are, I mean, now you consider Triple Threads on the mid to low end, yep, based on price point. But it used to be the creme de la creme. It was the ultra top shelf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And make sure you guys jump in on breaks. We're going to be doing it all weekend at mojobreak.com. Pick your team and random style. Great thing about Triple Threads, for one, each inner case is going to have 36 hits, so it's pretty plentiful for breaks. And you're guaranteed a one-of-one or a triple auto in each case, so each inner case. So I know this morning Greg hit some nice one-of-ones and triples, triple relic autos that you can find on our YouTube feed at Mojo Break, so make sure you guys get in on that. We are going to announce our giveaway from last week, and we will be giving away more group break credit as well. So be sure to tune in. We're also doing a free break on Fans of Mojo Break. So make sure if you're on Facebook, I know some of you aren't on Facebook, but if you're on Facebook, make sure you join the Fans of Mojo Break group, and we're doing a free break of 2021 Black Football. So get on that. There's still time to enter in, and we're going to give away 32 teams, open the box, and give away the cards. So that's pretty awesome. But I want to get in this first segment here, guys. It's from Card Porn originally posted this, and received a lot of comments. It was about kind of ethics and breaks, and I wanted to talk about it in regards to all the ethics of breaks with us, because, you know, we've been doing breaks for 10 years. C-Rad's been doing almost as long. So it's a good little roundtable discussion to get into, like, on what you should do as a business to take care of your customer. So the original post here there was a couple breakers, more on the smaller scale, that were taking teams. Some of them were I think both of them did disclose ahead of time that they were going to take the Hornets in basketball breaks, or they were going to take the Timberwolves in basketball breaks. And then they made all the other teams available. And it was a pick your team style. And I have a point of view on that. And then there was another breaker who was a soccer breaker, I believe, that was taking one of the best soccer teams every time and then selling the rest. And I wanted to get your guys' take, and I'll start with C-Rad. I mean, what do you think about a breaker? And let's make this a business. A breaker who does breaks as a business, right?
Yeah.
Somebody that does more than one break a week, maybe, you know, 5 to 10 a month at least, and kind of gets high off their own supply. What do you think?
I mean, I think in general, you shouldn't be taking any spots in your own breaks in general. That's always how I've always felt. Even like when I was breaking on my own, I would never do that. But I it depends. Now I'm looking at the situation. There was people in the comments that I read this on this post as well. Like, people were saying, you know, it's a pick your team. If everybody knows beforehand, like it should be fine. if everybody agrees with that. But I just feel like you, if you want to be, from a business perspective, you want to be able to offer all the teams to your customers, right? So that's where, you know, I don't agree with taking teams in your own breaks. But these, like, some of these guys were, like you just mentioned, were a lot smaller and just maybe just starting out, maybe, perhaps. So I feel like if they wanted to grow more, obviously they shouldn't be doing
they're
that.
They're hindering them almost their own selves, right?
Exactly. And then, you know, I see the other side. Obviously, I see the other side, too, of people that are like, you know, this – they. I agree. Like, they should, they probably shouldn't be doing that. So,
what is your take on it, Dan?
So, check it.
Check it out.
Check it. So, I mean, I'll speak solely from a business perspective, right? If we were to do that, if we were to take the Hornets, we'd lose money.
Yeah.
We'd lose money every honestly, like, the majority of our margin comes from selling
the top teams. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be a lot of the bottom teams that in a case break, we're only going to sell for like $30. Well, that's not going to, we sell all the teams for $30. We're going to be losing a lot of money. So those premium teams are where we actually make our margin. If we were to take those premium teams, we would be taking a substantial risk and probably losing 9 out of 10 times.
Yeah.
So from a business perspective, if you're trying to treat it as a business, or you're trying to treat it as a side hustle and whatnot, not beneficial for your bottom line by any means. If, as far as a transparency issue, if you're upfront with your group, your customer base, and they know that, say, the Angels are not going to be available in baseball, because we've come across that. Like, I've seen that on Twitter where someone's like, I'm an Angels fan. I'm going to take the Angels in every break. Well, there's a guy, Mike Trout is an Angel.
Yeah.
Shohei Ohtani is an Angel. Like,
those guys good?
You, I mean, it's one thing to take a team that is not generally a desirable team, but to pull literally the best teams out for your customers, like, your customers never have an opportunity to get these teams. I think it's bad business, and I also think you're doing your customers a disservice by not providing the marquee teams.
Well, you see, in 1819, I was a fan of the Mavericks, and then 1920, I became a Pelicans fan.
Yeah, I know that. Then, I know where that's going.
And then 2021, I was just a big Hornet fan. So, you know, that's my favorite team that I keep every year.
I think we talked about this last week in the redemption replacements. It's the same thing.
I just think, you know, I don't want to compare it to a Vegas situation, but nobody wants to see the house win. I mean, how do you feel when you, let's just say you're doing a box break of Prism and you collected $1,400 from everybody else and, you know, you're banking on, like you said, your profits on the Hornets. And then you hit a gold LaMelo.
Yeah, what are you going to do? You're like, look what I did.
Woo! You guys
sucks
all
to
lost,
be you
I
guys.
Won.
Hey, thanks for buying this box for me. And I got a $10,000 card.
And
so don't forget, I'll be live next week. And let's fill it up.
Let's fill it up again. Or it's the equivalent of, like, you know what? We're all going to go out to dinner and, you know, I'm going to eat lobster every time. And you guys are going to eat salad.
No, you guys are getting the free bread that's coming by.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to Olive Garden, and you're getting the breadsticks because those are free.
And also
the chicken parm.
Chicken parm, yeah, exactly.
I don't know what else you can get at Olive Garden.
They do have some good salad though, so that wouldn't be
I think the breadsticks are probably
the breadsticks are really good
are what people go there for, right?
Yeah,
the salad and breadsticks.
The salad is that
pretty much.
I haven't been to Olive Garden for a long time. Is that free?
No.
Like, no, I thought the breadsticks and salad, like, if you dine in, don't they?
No, they do it now. It's called unlimited soup and salad, so there's a fee. It's like $9.99, I think.
The breadsticks are free, but not the salad.
I
think it'd be frowned upon in their establishment if you're like, let me get a cup of water and breadsticks, and then you're like, I don't know you anything. I'm out.
You know,
I'm nice and full.
This is kind of going off a little bit, just a quick second, but speaking of breadsticks and that type of red lobster, the red lobster biscuits.
Cheddar Bay
biscuits.
Yeah, still around.
People literally, including me, if I could, I would just go to Red Lobster to just have biscuits.
I think they sell the it probably doesn't come out the same, but I think they sell it in the store.
They do.
Just based on name alone of the chain, it's not for me.
It doesn't
I know they have other things besides lobster, but I just wouldn't go there.
There's no fish in the bread, if you ask me.
No, but
I don't think there's anything.
I think majority of the menu I wouldn't like.
I actually, man, many fond memories of the bread there, as I'm a large gentleman here. But I actually eat too much bread, and then my food comes out. I'm like, man, I don't think I got any more room left.
I know bread will fill you up, bro. That's the thing. That's a trick. That's a trick about restaurants.
You know, it's like
I eat it by the basket.
It's like my wife has turned into my parents, because when I was a kid, stop eating bread, you're not going to eat your meal. And then now my wife's like, stop eating bread, you're not going to eat your meal. And I don't know why my wife doesn't sound like that. But,
well, I mean, if you've been married any amount of time, we know what that's all about.
Yeah.
I just come back. I'm like, I'll figure it out. I'll still finish my meal.
Yeah, I do too.
No disrespect, but I feel like probably a lot of wives tell their husbands, like, man, you're just another one of my kids, bro.
Pretty much. Still collect the baseball cards, playing video games. So not a lot has changed.
And I just had Shake Shack for the first time today, by the way.
It's
first
not bad.
Time ever.
I had it in the airport, and
it's not in and
I
out.
I get two of them. I get those two confused: Steak Shack and Steak and Shake.
Shake Shack.
Shake Shack, Steak and Shake.
I don't know what Steak and Shake is.
Steak and Shake it's a chain. You've been there, right? No, you were there. We went to Vegas. Remember before we did the escape room?
Yeah.
That is Steak and Shake.
Mm. Okay. I don't recall what
they have
got
like
there,
the Cinnamon Toast Crunch shakes and like the weird shakes.
Oh, wow.
I do like Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Our listeners will appreciate this, and I just said it, but it's not anything close to In-N-Out. I'm sorry, people from the East Coast. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's not anything. It's along the same level. Maybe.
I don't have an opinion, but the bar is set so low with In-N-Out.
See?
That I'm pretty sure it's better.
Don't get the In-N-Out boys on the chat room. They're gonna be coming in the comments.
They come in with pitchforks.
There isn't a fast food chain that is more overrated.
More
In-N-Out burger.
Ooh,
more better than In-N-Out burger.
Overrated.
You'll see. You'll see in the comments, Dan. You'll see.
I know, but that's proving my point exactly. It's like a In-N-Out burger cult. I mean, it's like
It's just perfect. It's California. It's perfect.
It's California burger.
Cali.
Animal style.
We were talking about group breaks, but you know, food is obviously one of my.
You're talking about bread.
One of my passions.
Bread, which is like is a slang term for money, and bread is like what these breakers are trying to make by taking the Hornets and Timberwolves.
It's what they're not making by taking the Hornets and the Timberwolves.
But it's what they're hoping to
exactly.
To
I mean, and one of the things that I think what people were kind of missing in the comment section, because these breakers were defending themselves, and they're like, well, we have everything pre-priced out. You can't tell me if you're expecting to take a team that you don't price the other teams a little bit higher to cover your costs.
Yeah,
100%.
Absolutely.
I don't care who you are. You're doing that. You're not like going to price it out and be like, oh, then I'll take this. You know, you're adding $10, $20 here to make up for that the Timberwolves or with the Lakers or with the Warriors.
If you're doing it as a business, you're not in the business of losing money. You're going to try to do whatever you can to, like, get your team and probably make a little bit of money as well.
I think the savvy people that were looking at commenting on the soccer breaks specifically with the soccer team, they were saying that the other teams were priced to the point where it would cover the box.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Whereas, like you just mentioned, the premium teams are the teams that obviously we make our margins from.
Yeah.
So it would be as if instead of charging $30 for the weakest team, like you were saying, Doug, we were charging $40, $50
for
them
now. They won't sell.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like they I mean, we do it enough to where we know what teams at the end that we're discounting for case breaks that are, I mean, dirt cheap.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's always the same handful of teams.
And it's just my take. We're providing a service. If I want to get involved in the hobby, I buy singles, and I'll open the occasional boxer myself. That is what I like to do. I don't feel the need to jump in a case break, because that is your guys's event. I am providing a service for you guys. So it's just transparency. And this whole industry is based on transparency. But we've gotten to the point now where we are a bunch of new people can come in. They get 7,000 followers on IG. They have a couple retail boxes and they have some followers now. And they're not really businesses. They're not. They're just, in lack of a better word, they're clown shows. And that's what you're seeing going on. And they don't have any skin in the game, so they don't care what you think. But at the end of the day, like for us, for example, and this is from day one, even when stuff was, you know, not selling, and even when, you know, breaks were low and prices were cheap on boxes and singles weren't selling. To this day, we do the same thing. We post PYTs at random times. Nobody knows when they are posted. They could be posted at 2 a.m. They could be posted at 7 a.m. They could be posted at 1 p.m. It's always random. No one has any notification. It's just first come, first serve. And that's from day one that we thought would be the most transparent. There's been countless people, and I know I've mentioned this on the podcast before, there's been countless people who said, hey, how many cases of NT are you going to do? I don't know, 10 to 15 at least. Cool. Can I give you money ahead of time for the Timberwolves? No. Why not? Because you have to be the first one to get them. That's the only way we can do it, to be transparent. So this borderline's not – so if they're going to do this and they're going to pull teams for employees, are they going to keep teams for themselves? What else are they possibly doing that's not transparent? Weighing boxes? Pulling the best box out of the case and then selling the rest to their customers? All these things could happen. So just definitely buyer beware. And this isn't a sales pitch for MojoBreak.com. I don't care if you go to us or not. I'm just saying – if somebody has questionable tactics, they probably have more other questionable tactics. I can lay my head down tonight and know that I've never screwed one customer over in my entire time of doing this business. Have done nobody wrong from day one, because you just can't. You can't, not only for morals, but, you know, we're all a community here. You can't have anybody, you know, you can't have a bad name. Once you have a bad name, you're done. And like I said, I'm a moral person. I can't do that to even in life to anybody at sleep at night, so I don't do it in my business.
You know, one of the most common questions we get, getting back to posting, you know, PYT breaks, is can you tell me when you're going to do it?
Right.
I mean, we get that, I would say, on a weekly basis. Like, I want this team. Every time I go to your site, I can't find it.
They're gone.
I need to know when you're going to post it. Like, what's the deal? And it's like, I get the question. I get the question, but it wouldn't be fair for us to share that information with you and not share it with everybody else.
Correct.
And yeah, there's, I mean, the only other way that we could do it is be like tweet out, say, hey, like at 1 p.m. triple threads, PYT number
but
five.
That's not good, 'cause you're gonna have double.
So then what you have in the way the way a lot of e-commerce websites work. And when we list a PYT, there is only quantity of one of every team. It's not like t-shirts where you have, you know, 15, 20, 30, 100 extra large shirts. So like you can have multiple people check out at the same time and it's not going to oversell generally. Right. We're dealing with one break, one stock.
Yes.
So if 10 people try to check out with the same team, there's going to be people who are going to be able to finish the checkout process and it's going to oversell.
Yeah.
So again, I always reiterate when, and we never like having to issue refunds for anybody when there's an oversell, but the way our website works is that we do run it as a reverse auction. When breaks get closer to the scheduled time, you're going to get insanely cheap deals.
Yeah.
But just remember, when you're checking out, there's only one Brooklyn Nets spot. There's only one. So if everybody's trying to check out at the same time, it's going to happen.
And I don't know if we tried that tweeting out thing for one of our breaks in the past years ago, right?
Oh,
and it didn't work out well for us.
Oh,
because
yeah,
we only have a certain number of spots.
It was on
spots,
a buyback,
right?
Product, yeah.
Yeah,
there
so
there was nothing like that. Remember, man, I love going in the Wayback Machine. That was
But these things have shaped us to how we do breaks now. I mean, that was to give you guys a little backlog of the scenario, this was like, what, 3 or 4 years ago. We do buybacks, and we probably don't do them as much as we used to. We would do maybe 8 a year back then, but now we're probably doing like a couple a year because we're just so busy.
Mm-hmm.
And we would announce at the time, and there still is these cases out there,
but we don't announce it because of this, we don't talk about it.
So, you know, let's just say the product cost us like $100,000 to make. We may have a case that has like 40,000 of that in there. You know, it was left up to the imagination, because I always believe when I pack out these cases, I don't want it to be all even. I want there to be some holy crap cases. So the customers had known that there was three in this run, and there was a 30-case run. Well, we got down to the end. Case 27 didn't hit it. Case 28 didn't hit it. Case 29 didn't hit it. So we knew, everybody knew, that that last case was going to be a hot case. And it's all randomed at the beginning. So the chances of it happening weren't very good, but it wound up happening because we random each case as we're doing it. Once again,
I think there was three.
Transparency is key.
There was,
we even
three,
had
there was
people,
three of them in 30 cases. So,
right,
I mean.
Right. We even had people thinking that we were changing the numbers of the case so that we can have the case
for the very last
the
one.
Last one. And but we actually film ourselves numbering the cases, and then we do a random prior to every break for that reason, because I think about these things.
And we have a timestamp on the initial numbering of the case.
Everything's
exactly.
Documented.
Everything's documented. But anyways, so I knew everybody wanted to get in because it was a hot case. They know there's going to be more value than what they pay. So I basically were like, the decision is going to be like at 1 o'clock. We're going to tweet out when it's going to be posted. And so we did that, and the thing went oversold by like 30 spots.
No, it oversold by like, it was like 45 spots. It was a Mojo collection, right?
Yeah.
So it was 45 spots, I think. And I think we ended up selling like 120 spots.
Yes.
And,
sheesh.
And yeah, I mean,
you could only have 45 spots.
You can only have 45 spots. Like there, and then people wanted us to do a random on that to see who was going to get the top 45. Like that, not what we do it. The way we do it is it's
lowest
based,
order
it's,
numbers.
It's based on order numbers. So lowest order numbers gets it. And it was a headache, man. I think, and I think it was on a weekend as well. So like, you know, it was a good time.
Yeah.
And I mean, now
we lost some customers because they said that they, you know, they had bought into 28 of the 29, and it's not fair that they weren't just allowed to just take a spot because of that. And
there was a lot of justifying. Like,
it was a lot of justifying. Yeah. And
but yeah, I would say a solid 3 to 4 days of nonstop emails of like a lot of accusations, a lot of name calling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's why, and I think it's fun. I think it's fun for you to basically pack those out and say, hey, there is some hot cases. Now we cannot do it. Like, society's not ready for it. We're not ready to take on that type of situation quite yet.
Yeah, and that's another thing. If a breaker, you know, we're talking about business ethics here in this industry, specifically the breaking category, which we're so-called experts at, that, you know, when somebody does a repack, if you're buying into somebody else's repack, the cases need to be made first. If you're buying from somebody that makes them as they go, I mean, who knows what shenanigans could happen.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Wasn't there we were talking about it. Now we're talking about
ours is all made before
we're talking
the first
about buybacks, but wasn't there like a buyback where the card was a $3 ungraded card, but it was graded by a company called Ace?
Oh yeah, I saw that on a local forum. I don't know. It was a
and they got it out of a buyback. I'm like, if that buyback was sold to you for any more than $10 max, then yeah, I've heard horror stories on like a lot of these new platforms that are coming up. People run on there and they're doing like packs or they're doing buybacks and stuff like that.
Oh, I've seen
that.
Some of that controversy too.
And
yeah.
there's people who are charging.
Oh, yeah.
There's
I'm glad you brought that up. You know what they do? They auction off their buybacks.
Yeah, and like there's people who are spending like $1,200 to $1,500 and getting like a $35 card.
Yeah, and then I've watched it a couple times where the guy's like hyping it up. He's like, if this auction gets to 500 with those two packs, and then it gets to 400, and the guy doesn't get two packs.
And the new thing, the new terminology that people are throwing around with this type of buyback, hot pack, whatever we're calling it, is there's a floor and a ceiling.
I know. I hate
so,
that.
So you basically, you may make 100 packs, and you're like, well, I'm charging $250. The floor is 50, but the ceiling is 5,000. But you're like, how many are closer to the floor?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like, did you just load it up with a bunch of $30 cards and then you have one $3,000 card? Like, I know it sounds like it's transparent, but it actually is less transparent.
It's almost like when you're like trying to lie and you're like overly lying. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I feel like the floor ceiling thing
is. Like the new terminology or the terminology in that sector of the hobby is here's the floor, here's the ceiling. And if you got to sell it that way, your product's probably not that good.
No.
Actually, let me tell you guys something real quick, too, in terms of like buyback and repacks and all this stuff. It's interesting. So I went to San Mateo twice these past few days because I had to go pick something up that I ordered from Target, a Nintendo Switch, by the way. So I was at Target last night picking it up.
Get some Pokemon.
What's funny is that I had to go back today because I forgot that I had that pickup. We were just in there like, you know how Target is. You walk in there like, oh, yeah, let me just buy some. So anyways, long story short, I'm at the checkout and I go to the card section. There was this new repack of basketball cards and there was like about 10 of them there. It was like $20. On the front was like Ronnie Seckley, and the back was like
save some for the kids.
These are just base cards. So there's a base on the front and a base on
the
back.
Oh, and it slides, right? You can see through it, right?
No, it's like it's just like a like 50 card pack in it.
Yeah,
a,
but it's not all the way full though. So
it's not all the way full. Yeah, but they say that you're gonna get one hit inside.
Oh yeah.
But the cards on the front and the back are always the same on throughout all of them. So I was like, I looked at it, I was like, oh, that's interesting. I put it down. Okay, I didn't buy any of them. I went back today. This morning to go pick up my Switch again because I was like, damn, I've got to get it. All gone. Somebody bought all of them. And I'm like, what could be in there? What kind of hit could be in there that's worth it, man?
Those are the sweepings of like distributors and card shops.
Are there packs or
loose
packs, cards?
Loose cards.
That's not sweepings of a distributor. It's sweepings of a card shop.
Yes, dollar bins.
Yeah.
Or actually probably penny bins.
It's just... Yeah, like, hey, I'm going to go throw this in the dumpster real quick. Somebody's like, no, I'm going to do a buyback product.
No, I mean, it's the ultimate margin maker because we've seen it. We've actually sold some of it where a guy, you know, it's like 5,000 cards for like $20, right? So then they take it and they're able to make 50 packs and sell them for $9.99.
On like eBay or whatever.
So then their margin is like, what is that, $500? They paid $20 for the box?
Yeah.
So they just made $500 basically by and all cost of plastic and all that stuff.
Sometimes it works out. I've seen those... You know, where they put the nice packs in there. Like, sometimes you'll get, like, a 17, 18, or 18, 19 optic pack or something on those rebuys. But you have to buy the whole box that's, like, you know, $50 or whatever. And they sell them at Walmart and Target. Sometimes I'll see those on people on forums. They're like, oh, I got a rated rookie Luka Doncic base card. Woo.
And actually, that's a good question for, you know, not a giveaway attached. So, actually, I don't know if we'll have anybody comment because it's not a giveaway. But if you have any success stories on repacks specifically from Target, Walmart, I want to hear about them because, I mean, maybe there is some diamonds in the rough. I've always looked at it. For one, the packaging looks like I made it on my DOT, you know, Commodore 64 computer. And, you know, it just doesn't seem like there's any going to be anything that's worth it in there. But if you have it, and I'm not talking about retail like Tops or Panini. We're talking about these specific brands. I think it's like Fairfield or something like that makes them. So I want to hear the success stories on that. But yeah, I mean, last little thought on ethics is just do your research. There's a lot of breakers out there. If you don't break with us, there's a lot of other breakers that have a lot more skin in the game. I mean, people that have shops, people that have been established for more than 3 years, that are doing it the right way, that know how to do it, that know how to ship your cards, that aren't claiming teams or having employees claim teams. Just do your research. You know, this is a service business, and we're here to service our community and our customers. We're not here to take the good cards. It's just not how it works. It doesn't work that way. So don't join a break where somebody is going to take the good cards from you and have you have the droppings of what's left. That's just not what this service industry is about if you're dealing with a professional breaker. If you're dealing with somebody that's just trying to do it for fun and it's your homie and he wants the Hornets or whatever, that's one thing. But if you're dealing with a business that continues to try to push product and run Instagram ads and they're going to have people take teams like that, nah, it's not the way to do it. So let's go ahead and transition into talking about In-N-Out Burger. This guy may have ate a lot of In-N-Out Burger.
Whoa, chill.
Zion Williamson, who Charles Barkley called... if Shaq and him had a baby, it would be Zion Williamson. Do we think?
Like if you were to put like their attributes as players together?
No, them now probably.
Physically.
Oh.
Yeah, because that would be a really good player.
That's not a compliment. I actually, when you first said that, I was like, that's a heck of a compliment.
No, they said
it's not a compliment.
He looks like their baby. Is it time to panic? The guy's young, multiple injuries. Bigger, hey, I'm not fat shaming anybody.
Pelicans need him,
but
Bad.
It's cause for concern when you have money invested on somebody, and weight is a factor for an athletic ability. Let's just say that. I don't care. You know, big is beautiful. That's fine. But when you're on the court and you need to be speedy and strong.
My issue is with the weight. It's where his injuries have been in the past, and him getting heavier could not be beneficial for those injuries. Like,
not at all.
Feet, like ankle, I think. Knees. Foot. There's a foot issue. Knees. That's not good. If anything, like, he should be getting leaner than putting on some weight.
Well, and we went to the Pelicans Warrior game.
They need him.
They need more than just him.
They need him badly.
If
they get him, they may only lose by 20. But when you're going out there,
well, they need Brandon Ingram back.
Going out there and you're losing by 40 points, you're not a player away. You may be 5 or 6. You may be a whole starting rotation.
Well, yeah. I mean, here's my thing. Regardless of weight, let's just say he's the skinniest, slimmest, most athletic guy in the league. Their team is awful. They don't have anybody. They're not going to win anything.
You put Ingram and Zion, healthy Zion, healthy Ingram, and
are they best in 8 seed?
But they're not getting blown out every night.
Yeah,
they're going to be competitive in games.
And they got Valanciunas now, right?
Yeah,
they got Valanciunas, which
he's like a walking double double. He gets you a double double.
But they had some guys out there that I mean it. And we went to the game, and I'm talking specifically about the Saturday night game. Was it Friday? Friday game, sorry. Friday night game.
We're just blowing guys out all the time. You guys forget, you know.
I
know.
I mean, the Warriors, they emptied the bench.
Yeah.
In the fourth, they emptied the bench.
Yeah, Kuminga and Moody.
And I'm all cool. I'm all, we'll probably end up winning by like 18. End up winning by 40. With the end of our bench out there. I mean, granted, they had their bench. But there wasn't a huge difference between the end of their bench and who they started the game with.
I mean, I will say that from the Pelicans, I think Kyra Lewis Jr. looked pretty good. He's a little small, but he's quick.
He's quick.
You know, so there's some bright spots. But like I said, if Zion comes back to this team, I don't think they're even better than the seventh, eighth seed anyway. So if you're investing in Zion, who's now in what, year three?
Year three.
I mean, year three is the. I mean, Ja Morant was in year two last year, and he beat the Warriors in the play-in game and played a good series after that. So that's progression. Like the Pelicans have regressed. So what are you hoping for?
I think if you're Zion, you go out there, you perform like you were performing last year.
You get lean.
You get lean. Look like a ball player. And then you basically beg for the Pelicans to move you.
I mean, are either of you guys...
Because the Pelicans are not, again, like, even if they get a lottery pick next year, they're not a lottery pick away. They're, like, going in the wrong direction. In a conference that's getting better, and that's been great for, like, the last 20 years, they are not getting any better.
I don't know what the Lonzo situation was, but that's a player that you would want to have with Zion at this point, you know, like a guy that can facilitate to Zion. It doesn't seem like there's anybody on that team. I mean, like I said, we got Valanciunas.
Well, they were experimenting last season, and it worked out pretty well with Zion playing the point. So it was like point Zion. And I know long term you probably don't want him to play point guard, but it didn't look bad.
So I there's a few sales here, and I mean, are you guys buying Zion at all? Or is there any card that you want to buy?
So me, I'm still on the Zion train. I still think he's a very special player, but the weight it's a lot of red flags for me with the weight. I just pray that him and the Pelicans organization and his team can kind of, you know, get him more fit. I'm not even going to say lose weight, just more fit. I mean, you know, it is
fat in the muscle, baby.
Yeah. He just,
keto diet.
His weight, well, like Dan was saying, is not going to help him avoid injuries.
No.
Playing the way that he plays the game of basketball.
Yeah. I'm looking at that. And if I'm not mistaken, and I'm going to go back into the absolute peak of basketball when cards were selling for an insane amount. I think that PSA 10 was like a $1,300 to $1,400 card.
That is a base. I mean, I believe.
I think the base was.
I think
the
it
base
got
were up,
to, up
there.
I think it got up to 800.
I think it went down to 800. I think it peaked at like $1,200 for a PSA 10.
Yeah, I mean, you might be right, damn. Because in March, right? You know, March. I feel like March of this year was still the height of sales. I think people didn't realize pop reports. I mean, I think people have now switched into serial numbered stuff.
People are locked in on it now.
Yeah, and I mean, people see the pop report now. And it doesn't take much to just drop this down to 290 because yeah. there's like 10,000 on the pop report. So
now people understand the pop. When we were exploding, nobody understood that.
There's yeah. a point where any night, any given night, you can go on eBay and you could type in PSA 10 Zion.
Hell of them.
And there would be every hour. There would be auctions ending. Like, if you wanted to pick up 10 in one day and basically auctions that started at 99 cents, you can do that.
Yeah.
You can do that. So that just tells me that everybody had a Zion rookie.
Yeah.
And this absolutely. is before PSA, like, shut down. Like, this is why you don't see a pop report for base LaMelo's or Anthony Edwards.
Yeah.
Because no one's going to pay $250,
and they needed to do it. Obviously, yeah. This is
so you
proof
needed.
Right here.
You needed to do it with, and this is actually probably why there was such a backlog. There's probably people who are still getting
their Zion PSAs
back from his rookie season.
Oh, and they've lost probably $800.
Yeah,
yeah.
They were like, when I sent this in, it was selling for $12. Now it's going for $3.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
but that finals ticket there, right? That's number to 35.
Yeah.
$6,000, that's a lot. Yeah. That is a lot of money. You can get two LeBron, obviously not numbered, but two LeBron tops, regular tops, PSA 10s for that price.
I don't think I would. Almost. Man, I don't. If I had $6,000 to spend on a Zion card, I don't know if that's the Zion card I'm going after.
I mean, it's what, top five, C-Rad, you think?
Yeah, contenders. Top five.
People are still paying over six figures for the RPA. I mean, there was one that just sold for $130,000. So people are still buying those ones. Is Zion like? I often wonder because, you know, we do base this hobby based on how these players play, but some of these guys become like culture icons, right?
Yeah.
So regardless if he gains another 300 pounds and
he's couch ridden
at this point.
It's already risky right now.
But people are gonna remember the culture, the Zion boom era.
Yeah.
And it's more of an art piece rather than the player. No.
Be hard to do for him to be on the basketball court and play and still gain another 300 pounds.
Well, he hasn't played. I mean, he's getting ready to play.
It'd be hard.
He'll
be back. And you know what? Right now might be a great time to invest in Zion for like a quick flip. He comes back and he has one of those Zion games where he goes for
35
points. He has 10 boards, 15 boards, 10 assists, whatever. And he hits a game-winning shot. That $300 PSA 10, regardless of the pop report, pop report can be like 15,000.
Tongue twister.
Yeah. It'll go, you could probably double your money. He has one of those games, it can be a $600 card.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that'll happen.
I would say invest in Zion at these prices more so than investing into Luka and his current prices.
Not at all. No.
And
Luka's price is a drop.
I
just
Zion.
Got a PSA Luka, 9 silver Luka, for
Luka's
$1,800.
Luka's prices are still insane. They're still insane.
Insane.
Even
yeah.
if they have dropped, they need to take
another comment from the comment section. No giveaway attached. Luka, are you buying Luka still over Zion? Would you given the choice? And keep in mind the value for value, you might still be able to get three or four Zions for the price of one Luka. So would you rather have three or four or five Zions or one Luka? I want to know what people think because I think I'd rather have one Luka at this point. I'm out on him.
I'm not out on Zion yet.
I think
a lot of red flags though.
Yeah, I go with quantity. If you can give me three for one, I'm taking the three.
You could probably actually get five.
You're taking the five for one. I'm taking the five.
Yeah.
I just think you have more of a proven player. You have a more proven investment. It's like Luka is a Tesla stock. And Zion's Shibu. I know that's crypto and stock I just mixed together. But it's like investments.
Curry is like a Tesla stock. Curry.
Zion's like Penn National. You don't know what he's going to spout off.
Zion's like
Curry's like Bitcoin, BTC.
Like Luka's like Robin Hood. Like their stock. DoorDash. It's like that's like up 10%, down 10%.
Speaking of that, you know what pissed me off is I was watching.
I don't know if we can really dive into this.
We're doing it in stocks.
We can't.
I heard there was a new electric car manufacturer that's backed by like Amazon and somebody else, right?
Amazon car?
I don't know. But the stock opened at like 30 and they were like, it's going to go to 100. And so I was like, I went on there when it was 30, but my app wouldn't let me buy it. And it went to 120.
Tell me,
it's at 100, like 100 and something now.
What is it?
It's like
how fast did it get up there?
Rivian or something like that.
How fast did it get to 100?
One day. It just opened today.
Why couldn't you buy it?
I don't know, because I think they're trying to hate a player. You know what I mean?
And that's also the thing that I don't know about these fractional stocks, right? These fractional apps like Stash and Robinhood and stuff like that. But
I'm locked in there now, so.
You're locked in at the 120?
I bought $100.
It's
Rivian. I went up 0.75%, so I made 75 cents. But it's at
I don't know why that wasn't the first thing we talked about today when I got in.
I forgot until we talked about it right now.
I know. I want to get in on that too.
Rivian.
30 to 100?
Rivian.
That sounds like a good deal to me.
Yeah.
Now it's at 100. And 100.
So it's an Amazon electric car.
I think so. I could be totally speaking out of turn, but is a manufacturer of electric vehicles. A company is engaged in designing, developing, and manufacturing EVs and accessories. It says vehicles directly to consumers. It doesn't say anything about Amazon here, but I believe there's some big investments.
We're starting to get into a point where, like, there's a lot of these electric car, like, manufacturers. Not the obvious, like, Ford make an electric car,
right,
and Honda make an electric car, and Toyota make. You have, like, Lucid. Is it Lucid? Is that one of them?
Yep.
They're making they're only making EV cars, right?
Yep.
And it's supposed to be
they're still not out yet, but I've seen some test cars on
the road. They're supposed to be like high end, like sports cars, correct?
I think so.
Yep.
The Lucid to me doesn't look like a high end sports car, but that sports car, that's just me.
It probably looks as good as you can get.
I can't believe
we're
talking about
car.
Sports cars.
Not sports
cards. On a sports cards podcast. How about that?
Yeah, well, they always
cross
over.
It's
my
like
life.
I'm hanging out at a party and I'm trying to tell people what I do for a living.
Yep. It's like this one time I was in Vegas with my uncle, who I don't see too often, and he's like, "What do you do?" I was like, "I sell sports cards," and he's like, "Oh, like how much is like a Ferrari?" I was like, "Uncle, I don't know. Cards."
And you didn't even dispute it.
Every time.
You're all LeBron exquisite. Just sold for $1.9 million.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's talk about something that's kind of near and dear to my heart, these SPs that came out. You know, I have a large head. Tops got the big head SPs at an update. What do you guys think?
I like it. I like
you
it.
Think it's
I
cool?
Like it.
It's like NBA
I like,
Jam.
I like it a lot.
Again.
Is this new?
For this update, yeah.
They've never done this before.
No. They actually did the big league has big heads, but that's like a kid's product.
I love this SP. I love it.
You do.
I have not even.
You're not being sarcastic.
No, I love it.
How do you think the players feel about it?
I know. Yeah, exactly. What if you already have a large head? Like, if they put me as a big head, it might look normal, and I'd be
just
offended.
Normal. Just normal head.
How are they selling?
Really well.
Yeah, I love it. I think it's I think it's new, fun, and exciting.
Fernando Tatis apparently sold for $1,500. You can see in this next slide, the Shohei's already at 610 with 5 days left. Trout's at 600 with 3 days left. Supposedly the Tatis that was in the last slide sold for $1,500. So people apparently really like it.
I think this is the best Topps SP that they've had.
You're kidding.
In the last 10 years.
That's all I need to do for you. It's just
that's
big
just all I just – make it fun.
And what if it was big feet? Would that tickle your pickle as well?
That would be weird because you don't really see the feet in anybody's cards.
It would be like a Bigfoot parallel.
Like, I don't.
You found it.
It's like, remember the little headliner? Like, there used to be like little basketball
oh,
characters.
Oh, that's why
and
you
they,
like it.
Yeah, they had
that's
like.
That's why you like it.
Yeah, they're cool, man.
I like the starting lineup. I didn't like the big heads.
The big heads. Yeah, like, NBA Jam. Like, when you put the code
in. Yeah.
Like, your team's not going to be any better, but they feel you feel like you're going to win.
Like, I should get every rebound. My head's 17 yeah. feet long.
I like it. I think it's great. Props to Tops. Don't say it enough.
Actually, first time I'm seeing this, I did have somebody mention it in the chat room. They're like, oh, you haven't seen those SPs? I was like, no, I have not seen them yet. So now I have.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a fan of it. Maybe it's because I have a big head complex and I just don't want to see it on a card. I just think it's good for the kids. I don't think it's like to collect for me. I don't.
Why for the kids?
Because it's like cartoony. It's like a cartoon.
There's nothing cartoon about it. I think, man, whatever. That's why we can't have fun.
Look at it. I
am looking at it. It's very cool. Very cool.
I don't know about that, man. What do you think, C-Rod? Do you think you're
they
kind
should
of
make I'm indifferent about
you're
the
kind
SP.
Of the middle?
I think they should make a set where it's all big heads and just chrome it over.
You know what? Donruss has an insert called Whammy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it has
big heads.
Has big head.
Yeah, it has a big head.
And it's fairly popular in there. It's just that there's only five guys on the checklist every year, so it's not rare. You know what I mean? You only get one per case. There's only five guys.
What
on
I don't
that
like about that is what it. I don't like the Whammy, like labeling as Whammy. I like the fact that this is just a regular card
with the big head.
With the big head.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not into it yet. Maybe it'll grow on me. Sometimes these things grow on
you,
me.
You only have a year or two to.
I think you're in the minority based on what the market's doing.
Seems like it.
I think people agree with me.
Yeah. You only have a year or two to get used to this. Cause
are we going
to
spin off in a Topps Big Head? Topps Big Head Baseball.
Because we don't know if, you know.
Yeah, we don't know. Yeah, we don't know.
I'm telling you, chrome it over, man. Make it a standalone set.
This got Topps Big Head Chrome?
Big Head Chrome.
Well, I need to, and this is how random we are, I need to pick a winner from last week's giveaway.
What did we give away? What was it?
That was... a date with you to Red Lobster.
Sweet. I get to try the cheddar biscuits.
Cheddar Bays.
I'm looking forward to it. It's the only thing I'm getting.
Somebody's going to hold us to that one. But I wanted to talk, you know, because we talk about Jordan LeBron, right? But why don't we talk about the two best active players in the league, which is Curry and LeBron. And we'll talk about it in terms of their cards because, you know, it's always the conversation. Like I said, Jordan versus LeBron. But there's some astounding numbers here when it comes to some of the, you know, pivotal blue chip cards. Now these cards aren't for everybody. You know, very few of us can afford these, and I'm not speaking for myself because I can't afford it either. I'm saying very few of us can afford it, but it's kind of staggering to think about some of these prices. So you look at the 2009-10 Topps Chrome Topps regular Steph Curry PSA 10 sold for $11,000 recently. So that was November 7th, right? And that's a pop 362. So a LeBron, which has a little bit higher pop, 2038, sold for $4,000. So Curry's outselling him by three times almost, right?
Yeah, but
more rare.
But really look at the pop there.
Yeah, I mean that does
so
play into it.
So I look at this and I go, well, if there was only a pop 362 on the LeBron, it would be like almost a $20,000.
But you
card.
Know what's crazy, and I think that Topps, they didn't make Topps Chrome that year. I think the Chrome were inserted into the Topps that year.
I think what you're seeing here is that was a weird year for Topps basketball.
And they didn't make that much.
And I don't think they made that much.
But obviously they run the presses 03-04 because it was King James. He's already on Sports Illustrated magazines. So they had to have ran the presses in 03-04. But 9-10, they did not.
Yep.
They didn't think that Westbrook and – or no, I'm sorry. Was it Westbrook? No, it was Harden.
Harden.
They didn't think Harden and Curry were going to be sought after to run the presses more.
Blake Griffin.
Plus, that's when they – I mean, there's a reason they have these photos of the face photos, right, not the full shot photos in 09-10.
Yeah, there was a reason, but there is a logo on it still. But they must have not had a rookie premiere, maybe is what I'm –
yeah,
what
yeah
was
there
thinking.
May have not been a rookie photo shoot.
They probably just
there was
excited about it in general.
It was the – if I'm not mistaken, the last year, the Topps basketball license.
Yeah, because Panini did jump in the next year.
Yep.
Yeah.
10, 11. Mm-hmm.
And
so they probably just weren't even excited about even making
it
either.
Then there was a lockout.
There was a lockout the year of the 10-11, so those guys didn't play, I don't think.
Yeah, so it was an interesting time for the hobby when it came to basketball.
And then you go into the Chromes, right? So you got the LeBron Chrome, which is a different design, which they had two standalone releases. But Topps Chrome for the Curry year was – the Chromes were inserted into the Topps flagship. So that just tells you how much was made. The Topps Chrome was numbered at $9.99. The LeBron Chrome not numbered. But
is there refractors of the Curry?
Yes, and there's gold refractors.
The refractors are not numbered, or they are numbered?
No, maybe there isn't. I don't know enough.
I think that's the regular Chrome.
Because yeah,
I know there's golds though.
Because that is the regular Chrome that's numbered to $9.99.
Correct.
Yeah, because the refractors they sell for like six figures, I think, dude.
So you're looking at, for those listening here on the audio version, a Chrome LeBron, $14,000. That one ended November 9th. And a Curry BGS 9.5. Couldn't find a PSA 10. $30,000. So almost double there. But then you take it a step further and you look at the pivotal, the highest end of both players, the National Treasures Curry RPA, which is number one card you can buy of him, and the Exquisite RPA for LeBron. So a Curry National Treasures 9.5 sold golden auctions, was in January, $450,000, right? But, and numbered to 99. But a LeBron Exquisite BGS 9 sold for $1.9 million.
Numbered to what?
99.
It's not the 23 and 99, is it?
No. This one is I didn't do that one on purpose.
Okay, because I was like, I'm all that. That changes everything a little bit. But,
this one's 57 and 99. It has a nice patch. So it's weird that, to me, looking at these markets, that the Curry base stuff sells for more than LeBron, but then the LeBron patch auto sells for five times the amount almost.
Could it be?
It's like it's an exquisite thing, dude.
It's an exquisite thing. And that was Panini's first year of National Treasures. And there was a lot of the backlash that I remember at that time for Panini's first year is that.
Actually, I don't know if that was their first year. That could have been playoffs still.
Oh,
I don't know. But then Panini did have those left over for replay. So maybe
I remember people complaining about Panini's design the first year they took over the basketball license.
Looking back at it now, I think that's a great design.
I think it's a great design, but I think it's a great design because of the player who's on the card.
Possibly.
Like I think
I don't have I, from a I design made, standpoint. I don't.
I think we made that card so iconic that the design is just something that we like now.
And the Steph. Yeah.
I think that if it was a different player or it was a different era, like even if there was like a Blake Griffin, who I think actually was a redemption in that. Maybe not. But like if it was a Blake Griffin, it still would look nice. But I think Curry, him being so iconic, makes that set.
Yeah, and it was the We Believe jerseys, right? One of the last years they wore those. So our giveaway winner from last week is Ellis L. So go ahead and message us through the website at mojobreak.com with your info, and we'll get you that gift card. That's going to tie right into this, our next, and I'm going to ask this question to you guys. And so the giveaway, we're going to give away another $150 in group break credit. So all you got to do is comment below here on the Mojo Break Media content to get entered in. If you're listening audio, jump right on to the YouTube and comment. And also make sure you subscribe and hit that thumbs up for us as well. We're definitely we love doing this and we want to grow it for you guys as well. But my question is, will Curry ever pass LeBron in the hobby? Will Curry ever surpass LeBron?
Yep.
And for the winning question, I want to know why on either side. Curry seems to be more likable, right?
Yep.
LeBron has a lot of people that love him, a lot of people that hate him. I think the majority of people tend to like Curry. He kind of stays in his lane. So we'll start with C-Rad.
Unless you're playing the Warriors.
Right. That's true. Do you think Curry could ever pass LeBron? And we're looking at championships. LeBron has four and Curry has three.
Yes, he will.
Okay.
Maybe I'm speaking from as a biased Warrior fan. First of all, Curry is going to have a run at a couple more championships. That's one. He's going to have a couple more runs at MVPs. And the price disparity is, you know what? It is strange to me that the base chromes, and I get it, the pops are lower probably on the base chromes, but his NT is like not even half of an exquisite RPA of LeBron's, the same numbering, and it's a better grade. I think if he doesn't pass LeBron in the hobby love, I think he's going to catch up to him.
Still $500,000, dude.
I know. Yeah, it's not like
dude,
a lot of people.
Dude,
like
you're acting like, I mean, things on the discount rack,
dude,
bro.
Trust me. I look at this card. Every time we talk about this card, this RPA Steph Curry, I'm going to go home and probably cry for like 8 hours straight.
You were thinking about buying the one when they were like $10,000.
$5,000. Oh. I had a chance to buy this after their first championship multiple times for $5,000, but the guy was holding out for a little bit more, and he did end up sending for like $5,500. So that $500 that I didn't give up, I lost myself a house, literally. And I wouldn't have sold this card either, because as you know, we like to keep, as Warriors fan, Raiders fan, I keep all my cards. Like, I never sell these cards. So I would still have this card to this day.
Yeah, I mean, there'd be no reason to basically move. And the only way you would, like, sell it if you're like, Curry basically is like, I'm going to the Hornets and I hate the Warriors.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
I hated every game Warriors I played.
The Warriors got to give him a blank check for the rest of his career.
He's like, I can't stand the fan base.
I feel it. I feel pain every time we talk about this card, like real pain. You guys know. Like, we all have this. If you've been in the hobby long enough, we all have these stories. We've had cards we should have bought, cards that we missed out on. You know, we all have these stories. But this is painful.
Cards we sold.
Especially as a Warrior fan. This is painful, bro.
I think as far as the hobby value, LeBron's a GOAT. LeBron will always be the GOAT. No one will surpass LeBron.
Give Curry a couple more rings, man.
I love Curry.
Even if LeBron
is a iconic figure. Like, I know Curry is, but like, I think we got to take the fact out that we are Warrior fans and we've watched him and we've enjoyed championships. Like, LeBron has like changed the way the game is marketed. LeBron has changed everything about the game. He is the modern day GOAT. We can have the argument about LeBron and Jordan and all that, whatever. But as far as the hobby, he is the GOAT, and no one will ever surpass him.
That's fair.
And LeBron is about 3,000 points away from Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, which I don't know if that will happen, but he's currently sitting at third. He passed Kobe last year.
He is getting injured a little bit here and there, but he's still playing at a high level. And there's no doubt that I think he can play 3 more years. And he can probably play 4 more years. And, I mean, it really depends on, like, obviously he plays 4 more years. He's not going to be the LeBron that we know and see right now. There's going to be, I think, a steep decline with his production. But if LeBron wanted to play and be on the bench, a guy coming off the bench, playing maybe 12 minutes a game, he can do that for another probably 5-6 years.
What about Curry? How many more years does he have? He's 33 right now.
I think a solid 6.
I think Curry, if he doesn't get injured and he could stay relatively healthy, because he has had some ankle issues.
Maybe another decade, dude.
I think he can play another 5 years at a high peak.
If he plays another decade, he might get close to the record. So he's currently at 18,000 points.
I think,
but he's going to be the greatest shooter, 3-point shooter of all time, no doubt.
Easily.
I think he plays another 5 years.
So you're saying even if Curry ends his career, and this will be the last thing before we end here, even if Curry ends his career with, let's just say, 6 championships and LeBron still has 4, he's not going to pass him up in terms of hobby value.
We talk about this all the time, though. For whatever reason, championships in basketball doesn't hold the same weight as championships in football or baseball. Like,
no, baseball championships don't hold up either.
For one specific player at one specific position, it doesn't matter. Like, it does not matter for Buster Posey. He could have won 10.
Yeah.
He's still not going to be a Hall of Famer, apparently,
to
everybody who writes on Twitter about him retiring.
Yes.
He's not a Hall of Famer.
Don't
even talk about it. I think somebody compared him to Joe Girardi. And I'm like, okay, I'm all based on championships. But if you look at the stats, Buster Posey is a better offensive player.
And everybody says, and I know we're changing the subject here, everybody says Yadier Molina is a first ballot Hall of Famer. He doesn't have that many more hitting stats than Buster Posey, but he has more defensive stats.
Yeah, best defensive catcher of his era will
Posey,
get him in.
And that's what
fame.
Sucks is if Posey was in the AL, he'd have probably just as many damn gold gloves as Yadier. Posey didn't get the gold gloves because Yadier was getting the damn gold gloves.
But yeah, I mean, I think the only knock that you're going to get on Posey is, did he play long enough? Was 10 years or 11 years, whatever he played, is that going to be long enough to get him into the Hall of Fame? What he did in his 10 years, 11 years, whatever.
Remarkable.
And if he would have done it for another 3 years, no doubt. But you're going to look at it and go, Posey only had 1,500 hits.
And 160 home runs.
And 160 home runs.
Well, I think Yadier only has like 1,800, and he's played like three or four more years than Posey.
Yeah, but, but he's played more. He's won more gold gloves.
Yeah. Not more championships, though.
But, wow, that was not even close to what we're on topic.
No, but yeah, I want you guys to definitely comment on you know, is Curry ever going to pass up LeBron in terms of the hobby ranking overall on everybody's big board, you know? And actually, real quick, is Curry a top five player in the hobby of all time, C-Rad?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. No, I yeah, absolutely.
Jordan, LeBron, is he third then? Is it Jordan, LeBron,
Curry? I think Jordan, LeBron, Curry.
Oh, Kobe probably, yeah.
Jordan, well, I think if you look at Curry's prices and Kobe's prices, I think
similar.
If Curry hasn't surpassed Kobe prices yet, he will at some point.
Yeah.
But I think it's basically LeBron, my opinion, LeBron, Jordan, and I'm talking about like
hobby prices
and the increase that we could see out of these players as well.
Jordan just didn't have, I mean, he has like a lot of key 90s cards, not just his rookie stuff, but he like has a lot of key 90 cards.
Yeah.
Like the precious metal gems and the, you know, all these other inserts. But yeah, he didn't get the same amount of cards as LeBron.
Yeah, and I think it's, yeah.
And we don't have modern autographs either.
So yeah, LeBron, Jordan, Curry, Kobe, KD.
That's fair. Extra points. Put your top five. Your top five hobby basketball players. Yeah. Top five.
And just real quick before we leave. Okay. I'll just be honest. He probably won't ever pass LeBron, but I think he's going to catch up to him.
I think so.
The hobby.
Not even
LeBron.
A homer talking. I agree.
Yeah.
I mean.
He won't pass him.
Yeah. 1.9 million to 450,000.
He won't pass him.
He's going to have to do a lot for that NTRPA to sell for $2 million. He's going to have to do some pretty remarkable stuff. And he's done some remarkable stuff already.
He is.
And what could he possibly do? He has to score 100 points a game. Does he have to average 45 points a season? Like, does he have to win? Like,
keep breaking the 3-point record?
Does he have to literally win every championship until he retires?
A couple more MVPs, a couple more championships.
I don't know.
MVP is going to help him a lot,
gets,
too.
I don't know if he gets another MVP.
He's going to get one this year.
I feel like he got snubbed last year.
I think he should have got the MVP.
MVP 3 coming.
I think he should have got it. I think the writers look at it and go, we can't give it to the same players every year.
And they were the AC.
Yeah,
too,
like so.
They ain't going to be the AC this year.
Hell no.
He's going to get
it. I think they already locked up the AC, actually. how far are we in the season?
I know, seriously.
I mean, they've lost one game, right? What are
they're
8-1
one or 9-1. Nine one, so. It's a good time to be a Warrior.
Anybody want to go to the game tonight? I got 4 tickets.
I think they sold.
Oh, they did?
I think so.
Nice.
Oh, I had 2 tickets left.
Oh, okay. Maybe. Maybe they are.
I went way down. It's hard to,
hard to
put meat in the seats and at Chase, man.
No kidding.
For real.
Well, that's all we got for the show, guys. Once again, make sure you hit subscribe here to Mojo Break the Hype. We do this thing every week. This is episode 213, so there's plenty more back catalog to listen to. Join Breaks at mojobreak.com 7 days a week. We're live. We always have something going on, PYT, randoms, all sports, including racing. We're doing soccer, baseball, basketball, football, all that stuff. And for low price on wax, shipped right to your door, mojobreakshop.com. And that is it for today's show, and we'll see you guys on the next hype. Peace out.